Okay, so anyways, good morning again. Happy resurrection. We'll start there. Turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3. Flip over to Philippians chapter 3. Todd will get it up on the screen in a moment. Philippians 3:10. 3:10. I have to remember that Todd is not a mind reader, that he needs to hear this, but we keep him on his toes. Philippians 3:10. And I would like to read from a famous passage of Scripture here in Philippians where Paul is giving somewhat of a personal, a biographical sketch of himself in this chapter. And one of the things that he does is to kind of state what his life is about. This is what my life is about. We may call it, you know, a personal mission statement, an aim, a goal. This is where I'm going in my life. And these kinds of things are really good to do. And so Paul puts this in perspective for his own life. And certainly this is for us to also look into our lives. Now, one of the things that Todd wasn't able to do in putting this up is to scratch out the second half of that verse. Because we're not going to talk about sufferings today. Somebody say amen, hallelujah, amen. Praise God. We're not going there. We're sticking with the first part of the verse of Philippians 3:10, where part of Paul's mission statement is, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Do you see it there? I want to know Christ, the ambition, the great desire of his life. I want to know Christ. This is what my life is all about. My daughter Christina's here. Thank you. I'm sorry. Good. Thank you. I'm going to preach so much better now, you can't imagine. You just can't imagine. Just stepped it up right now. And anyways, this is the great aim of this man's life, that he doesn't keep as a secret for his life, but he shares it with us. And writing to this church, he is writing it to us. He's writing it to you this morning. The great quest of our lives can be the same, ought to be the same, is the same for those of us who know Christ. I want to know Christ. And the idea there is you come to know Christ, certainly. And I can mark the date and the time and the place of when I came to know Christ. But there is this continual, day by day, year by year, quest, this journey, this great adventure in life that brings ultimate meaning to my life. And the quest is, that brings that meaning to my life is, I want to know Christ. And then he goes on and he adds, and the power of his resurrection. And this is the question now that we're asking this morning, as we've been asking in the last couple of weeks. What is the life? What does it mean that Jesus lived? What does it mean that Jesus lived and he lived for me? Last week, what does it mean that Jesus died and he died for me? And this morning, we're asking the question, what does it mean that Jesus rose from the dead? What does it mean? What does it mean that Jesus rose from the dead for me? What does it mean for me to share, in fact, in Jesus' resurrection? And then before we pray, I want to just read real quickly, as is my MO, to the supporting verses to that main verse this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 19, where in this powerful chapter that Jesus is speaking about himself and he's preparing his disciples to understand, to help them grasp what's about to happen in his own life, how he is going to Calvary. And he is quick to say that though he is going to the cross, though he's going to Calvary, he says to them, don't be sad. Don't be sad. Now, of course, it's a hard word to hear. You know, don't be sad, but to rejoice. And there are people, even my father-in-law, I remember we were in the hospital with him, and he had an episode, and he was you know, teetering. And it was before he died. But he looked at us, he looked at Sandra and I as we were sitting there, and he said to us, now listen, I've lived a good life, and if I should die, I don't want you to be sad. Well, you know, Dad, that we appreciate that, hearing that. And what a marvelous statement from my father-in-law, the man of God that he was, to make. But I'll tell you what, we were sad. And it's a hard thing. And Jesus is somewhat saying that to them, but with more umph to it, more power to it. And I want to draw your attention to verse 19, where Jesus says, "Because I live, you shall live also." Yes, I'm going to die. Yes, I'm going to the cross, but I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to stay dead. And because I live, he says, you shall live also. And this is what Paul is saying when he says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know that kind of life in my life. And then lastly, Acts chapter 2 in verse 24. Acts 2, 24. And the book of Acts is all about the resurrection. All about the resurrection. Jesus rises from the dead and he says, hey, I'm here now, guys. I'm really here. And the thing that makes us distinct from any other religion, any other group, is that we have come together this morning as the Church of the Living God, the living Christ is here right now. He's here right now. He is alive, and he's here by his Holy Spirit right now. And this verse says to us, as they went around preaching that, and then they drew attention to Jesus dying on the cross, the Apostle Peter makes a statement in this verse that I want to draw your attention to, just one little part of this verse where it speaks of him, verse 23, where it says how he was handed over by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, so that when we look at Calvary, it wasn't a mistake. Jesus' suffering, Jesus' pain wasn't a mistake. And I want to set you up to say something this morning, that your pain and your suffering has not been a mistake. That's just to set you up for something that's coming later. But it wasn't a mistake. Do you notice it there? It says God's set purpose. And then it says, with the help of wicked men, he was put to death, nailing him to the cross. And then these words, but God. But God. There's a good verse to memorize, but God. So when you're up and against it and you're feeling like you've just been nailed, to be able to say, but God. In whatever situation, learn that as a new catchphrase to say. Learn that as a new mantra to repeat, but God. But God. And it says here, but God raised him from the dead. You see it there? Listen what it says. Freeing him from the agony of death, Jesus came up. And then it says, and these are the words I want to draw your attention to, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. It was impossible. Pray with me, would you please? And so, Father, here we are. We just read this word. We're about to say some things today about the Prince of Life, Jesus, who so wondrously and gloriously did for us that we might return to you, God, and know all the glories of our God and to live for the praise of your glory. And now, Lord, in my voice, may we, your people, hear your voice. And hearing your voice, may something happen to us in what happened as we see happened on the first day of creation, as we see on that day when Jesus rose from the dead and how it sent shockwaves throughout all of the cosmos and throughout every person for all time and eternity. May we feel that movement in our hearts today in Christ's name. Amen and amen. And so the sufferings I go through today must give way to life tomorrow. How many of you are suffering today and anticipate life tomorrow? I want to tell you, you can. Because it's impossible to go through the pain of the cross and not come to the power of resurrection life. In as much as we look at the cross and we say, there's what Jesus died. Well, listen, Jesus died on Friday, but early Sunday morning, there was no possible way he was going to be held back from rising from the dead. The pain and suffering gave way to new life. And we have to see this about our lives. This is what's worked in, stitched in to the fabric of the way in which we live our lives. Yes, there is pain and suffering. and what we feel and face today. Tomorrow's coming, and there's going to be a resurrection from the dead, because death must give way to life. It must. It's impossible for death to hold us down, because we share in Jesus' resurrection. And if I share in his death, see, if in my life there are those things that I go through, if in my life there are those painful things, those difficult things, and we relate them to a cross experience, and it's not a far-fetched thing, is it? Is it? Because Jesus said for us to do what? If you're going to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. Now, that's not a pretty thing. You know, that's not a pretty thing. That's an emblem of what? Suffering and shame and pain. And a lot of life is made up of that, is it not? It's made up of that. And Jesus said, you're gonna have a cross to bear. But at the same time that we have a cross to bear, if we share in his death, we shall also share in his life. Because we have to realize, and over again in the scripture, we see this spoken to us. We are the pains taking measures that the writers, especially Paul and Peter, went through in the New Testament to show us that what happened to Jesus happened not for Jesus, but for me. This is what we mean to say, in that we say, Jesus died for Bob. He died in my behalf. And in dying in my behalf, he took me with him. In as much as Jesus died, and he died for sin, he took me with him so that I also would die to what? Sin. We spoke about that last week. But also now we have to look at the flip side of that. And the flip side of that is, in as much as Jesus rose from the dead, and the grips of hell, the grips of death, the grip, the strong grip, the chokehold of sin was released because Jesus beat it up, I also rise with him from that awful grip. It says here in Acts 2, in 24, it says it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And I want to say to us this morning that those things that we face, those things that we go through, that pain and that suffering, that sin, that kind of lifestyle, it's impossible for it to hold you down. Not in the resurrection of Jesus, not in that you share, because there is a power there to lift us from that. Watch this. We'll get it up here in a minute. So when I think of the resurrection of Jesus, this is what comes to my mind. The launch of the space shuttle.
And counting.
Go full screen,
all
can you?
Are
get it up good and loud.
About 90 seconds from the launch of Space Shuttle Discovery.
Go, go, for launch, GC. Go, go, go. Fido, go, bro. Go, GC. Go, Max, go. Eagle,
this is
go.
The preparation of Jesus. Go. Before he's, go. As he's laying there in the tomb.
Yes, go.
There's rumblings.
Go,
there's a countdown in heaven.
Go.
All these things are taking place. God is at work. There's a divine purpose behind it. Ignition happens, you see. Do you understand that when Jesus rose from the dead, there was a shout that people in graves came up out of the grave, that it sent shockwaves through all of the earth, and Jesus rose. And we see this happening. And you got to watch this. And you got to see this as, this is what it was like that Sunday morning so long ago when Jesus rose from the dead.
T-minus 17 seconds and counting.
It said that the devil is standing there saying, there's no way, this is not going to happen. I got my grip on him, I got my grip on sin, I got my grip on death, and I'll hold you down. Nothing ever's going to come of your life. You're going to amount to nothing, never, no how, can't be done, but he goes up. Jesus rises from the dead. He breaks free from that gravitational pull of the devil. And I want to tell you something right now. There he goes. There he goes. There he goes. Breaking it. Breaking it. Breaking it. Breaking it. And guess what? You're with him. Right there. That's you. That you say, what happened to you? What was the message about on Sunday morning? Well, the resurrection. Yeah, we watched the launch of the space shuttle. Come on. I'm telling you right now. In one word, what does it mean that you share in Jesus' resurrection? I want to tell you what it means in one word. You can't say space shuttle because that's two words. What does it mean? It means power. It means power. It means power. And I want to say something to you as I unfold this in just a few minutes before us about power, about the power of God. And I stand here not only as a believer in the power of God, but as a product of the power of God. And this is how I want to unfold this thing. Here's the first thing about the power of God. All right? So I'm just very emotional about this morning. I want to say to you that what you saw right there, and using it as a metaphor to switch your imagination to how it is that Jesus rose from the dead, and when he rose from the dead, he took you with him. He took me with him. I want to say to you, that defines my life. You understand? That defines my life, and that he took me with him. What do I mean by that? Defines my life. In as much as the resurrection, Eugene Peterson says, defines Jesus' life, it also, his resurrection also defines my life. I was sin dead, but now I'm resurrection alive. You understand? And to go further here, let me say something to you about our problems and about those things, whether it be shame or guilt or fears, those habits, those bad habits, those sinful habits, those problems in our lives that we face, and it feels like, you know, it feels like, do you ever feel like this before? Like a bug in the middle of summertime that hits your windshield, you know, and it just splats right there. And then to really do it up, a big number, you try to wash it off with the windshield wiper, right? What happens to the guts on that? You know, it's like, and it's like, you ever feel like that before? You know, there you are. And there's this trick by the devil that he comes. He's a smart devil. And when your life hits the windshield like that and the wiper comes on, the devil comes and he doesn't whisper. He works his darndest to say, that defines your life. You see who you are? That's who you are. And you're hanging on to that little, you know, windshield wiper for all dear life, you know, you're going like this, you know. And it's like, and he tells you, and he continues, and he continues until finally you say, this is who I am. And this is who I am. And it's a big, fat lie. Because what defines my life is I went up when he went up. And when he went up, that cannot hold me any longer. Because why? You got to hear this, okay? You got to hear this morning. Because there's God. See, there's God. The devil is not God. He's not even close to God. He's God's devil. And sin, the biggest problem that we face, has been taken care of by what we're celebrating here this morning, Jesus. In all the problems that we can identify and put in that kind of context, God is there before and after all of those things. There's God. There is God. And not only is there God, but what we are doing to, you know, the God, that what I mean to say is that God is in my life, and as I look back on all of my life, all the steps of my life, and all that I have done, all that I do, there is God in all of those because of the resurrection, you see. Now, this is heavy duty because it's like my image is changing. My posture is changing. That, so I look back and I see the steps, and it's like, well, I did this then. And it put such a noose, a chokehold on my life. Or I did that, or this happened to me, and it made me like this. No, 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 no. See, the image is changing. What I see now is, oh, but God is, that happened, but God is there. See what I'm saying to you? Because of the resurrection. Because when he went up, I went up too. And something was freed in me when he went up because I went up with him. The gravitational pull of those things in your life and of mine have been broken. And he says, you got to hear this, please. He says that, I'm quoting here from Peterson, and he says, the God who is there and who's always been there, he is, I like this little statement, he is previous to what has gone wrong in my life. And he knows, you understand? And he's intimately involved in even what went wrong in my life. How, you know, the things that are wrong in our lives, what do we do? What are we prone to do? We are prone to say, well, God wasn't in that. No, I refuse. The image of my life is changing. Even what went wrong in my life, God is right there in it. Because of Jesus, God can handle your mess. I went up with him. See, this is what the resurrection, this is what my life means when I say it's defined by the resurrection. Listen, it gets better. Watch what Peterson says. Will one of you here this morning hear this? This is for someone. Your problems don't define your life. God defines your life. And he goes on to say, our problems are neither the fruit nor the last word. I'm sorry. He says, our problems are neither the first nor the last word of who we are. God is. God is. My problems don't define me. My problems are not the first word nor the last word on who I am, what I'm about. God defines my life. And he defines my life by saying to me, Bob, because I put you in Christ, I worked the salvation out for your life. When Jesus went up, you went up with him. He says, I lifted you up as well. And I broke all of those things off your life. And I say, God, thank you. What does that mean for me, God? You know my where I'm going right now. I just have, yea, verily, 2-3 points to make in my closing. My closing points are this. There is a power greater in me than the power of anything that would keep me attached to the gravitational pull of sin and of death. And those things have been broken off of my life by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus when he rose from the dead. Broken off from my life is my attraction to sin. And we spoke about this a little bit last week, but you have to see it, that this love affair that I have with sin, because sin is pleasurable. You know, it's like, who was it? Cliff, who said to me something about, you know, why is it all those things that I really want to do are either, you know, not right or not good for me, you know, for my health, but boy, they just, you know, taste so good, I are so good. And there is that attraction, right, to sin. And you have to see that what happens in the resurrection of Jesus is not only is there broken off from me this attraction of sin, but I am now connected to God and the first commandment, which says this. The first commandment, Jesus changed it. Did you know that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there was a change, not of content, but of emphasis? Whereas the Old Testament says, listen, you should have no other gods before me. You're only to have one God. Don't, no other gods. Jesus says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in this, there's a new attraction in my life. And this attraction in my life right now is I'm in love with Jesus. I love Jesus more than anything else in the world. See, take my car, take my finances, take my home. You know, I can go on in the list. Don't take Jesus. So don't take Jesus. And there's this connection. When you have Jesus, all of those things mean so much more. And that's the thing that's happened in the resurrection. The other thing that's happened is that my affection for sin has been broken. that I have this, that I have this, you know, man, I just like to do that. You know, I just like to do that. And that has been broken in my life to where now I have this, instead of this love affair with sin, I have this love affair going on with Jesus, with his word. That his word means more to me, you know, than anything you can possibly imagine. Why? Because now that I know this word, if I should ever happen to go on Jeopardy, if the Bible category comes up, I'm going to do really well. You know? And well, you say, well, you know, I got all these things, you know, I got the right things memorized so that, well, that's what a good Christian does. No, you see, these words are love words that fill the context of a romance that's been happening since I've come to Christ. I love Jesus and he loves me. And there's something nourishing about that. Broken is the affection with those other things that I have to turn to. And listen, and this is a tough thing to hear, but you got to hear it. Sometimes all of those things, I rephrase this, scratch that. Yes, all of those things, but sometimes that thing or those things dry up in your life. And God is behind the aridity. God is behind the drought, because he's showing you that he's letting that thing die in your life because it was rooted in that thing and not in him. And he wants to show you that though it might have been rooted in that thing, and that thing gave you this and that thing gave you that, from identity to pleasure to some kind of satisfaction in life, and God works in your life to bring that thing to death to show you there's a far greater satisfaction in that he provides you, that you find in him, than ever you could find in that thing. I'm going to say amen. And then the last thing is that broken is my affinity to sin. My affinity to sin. And this is an easy one to see, as we said before, that I have a sin nature, right? I have a sin nature. And the wonderful thing now about it is to flip that over, in as much as sin created within me this nature that is bent towards doing sin, that gravitational pull, if you will, of my life is bent towards, is inclined towards doing what's wrong. Doing what's wrong by habit. And you say, well, what is it? What is it that changes that? In as much as, you know, it's like, you know, what makes an apple tree bear apples? Well, duh. You know, I know. This is deep now. Well, it's an apple tree. Apple trees bear apples. And so it's not good enough. It's not good enough that Jesus would come and he would say, I'm going to forgive your sins. It would be like me saying, you know what? That's an apple tree, and I want it to bear pears, so I'm going to go out there and pick all the apples off of that apple tree with the hope that it's going to bear pears. Lots of luck. Why? It's a what? It's an apple tree. And Jesus, when he came, he just didn't say to us, I'm going to forgive you of your sins by picking those sins off our lives. Heavens, no, it wouldn't be good enough. It wouldn't work if he just forgave me of my sins. He said, I'm going to change your nature. I'm going to give you a new nature. And he recreates in me. In as much as there was the first creation, there is a recreation in what Jesus did in redemption. And he has recreated a new Bob, a new person within me. And that new person, that new nature within me now has a different bent. I want to go towards God. I want to go that way. Do I slip up? Absolutely. It takes a little while to get, you know, for the changes to register all the way through the community. You understand? It takes a little while for everybody to get the word, to get the message of what's really going on now in your life. But eventually, I'm telling you, you get there. But I accept that when Jesus rose from the dead, what he said is, I'm changing you, Bob. You're coming with me. You're now in Christ. And where did Christ go? He went before his Father. And I am there in Jesus before my Father. Access has been given to me. There's a change. So much change is going on in me. But what I have to see is there's recreated nature in me so that you're looking at Bob like Christ, not Bob like Bob. in the resurrection of Jesus. This is how I define myself. This is how I see myself. You understand? Oh, image is big. How we posture ourselves is big, you see. And so it's like, how do you see yourself? I'm not what I used to be because I'm in Christ. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not defined by my past because Jesus dealt adequately with my past. I'm not yet what I'm going to be, but I'm going to be like Christ. That's where I'm going. That's how I see myself. How are you right now? Oh, I'm pretty darn good right now. See, where I am right now, I am by the grace of God. You understand? So it takes the tension off. I got this and that. No, I am what I am right now by the grace of God. How'd you get that way? He took me with him. I got that way because he gave me this way. See, it's grace. And I'm there. Okay. Let's stand together in the presence of Jesus. I'm done. I want credit.
Sorry.
I want credit. I want credit. I want credit. We're going to pray. And this is how we're going to pray. If you would, Todd, if you would please put up, thank you, Todd. If you would please put up Psalm 24, the last verses, let me get to them. Psalm 24, this is how we're going to pray. We're going to do some Psalm 24, 7 through 10. If you can possibly get that, Todd, in a moment, please. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You're about to have a life-changing experience. You ready? Now, some of you know what it's like to power pose, right? Power pose. You know what it's like to power pose? This is a power pose, right? We know that. You know? Power pose, right? You know, you ever see those power pose? We know this isn't, right? You know what I'm saying, Todd? We know this isn't. What's this? That's not a power pose, you know? Yeah, I'm a Christian. How are things going? I don't know. No. I have this vision in my mind whenever I do this of Wonder Woman, and that's bad. I mean, for me, that's bad. You know what I'm saying? Brian, for me, that's bad. You know, it's like, that's not good. It's like, you know. Okay, you ready? In all of the research and social science on this and whatever, I bet you they haven't thought of this power pose, which we're going to do right now. And this is the power pose. I mean, look at the scripture here where he says, lift up your heads. What's it say? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? Who is the King of glory? Well, he's this little mamby-pamby. No, I'll tell you who this, you know, and God, the tip of God's fingernail had enough power to raise that space shuttle up off the pad. I mean, you know what that was to God? A sneeze. The Lord, strong and mighty. This will change your life here this morning. To see yourself like this. Watch. He's going to come in. The Lord, mighty in what? Battle. Battle. However it is, whatever it is, the battle you wage, you're going through. And he says, lift up your heads. Lift them up, ye ancient doors. The King of glory, what? He'll come in. Who is this King of glory? Oh, he's the Lord Almighty, the King of glory. Now watch now. Here's the power pose. It's a good one. It's a Bible power pose. It's like, I'm going to speak to my head right now. See? I'm going to speak to my head. And I'm going to say, you got to be lifted up. I'm going to speak to the doors of my heart. I'm going to say, heart, you got to open wide. Why? Be lifted up, head. Heart. Be opened up. Why? This is a power pose they haven't thought of right here. Here's a power pose for you. And what we're going to say is, King of glory, come in. Lord, come in. Mighty in battle. Come in. Come into this brain and its workings, where it's working, how it's working right now. The doors of my heart, let them be opened, that God, who is the King of glory, mighty and strong in battle, would come in. Would you join me? We're going to make this declaration as we close in prayer. I'm going to ask you to put your hand on your head and your hand on your heart. Come on. Come on, don't be, come on, power pose. Don't be afraid. You can do this. Is a power pose. All right? Somebody's at the door right now. We can only hope they're not. We can only hope right now. Yeah, from, you know, this is their resurrection Sunday. Look what they is it a new Simon Says? The pastor's bleeding in Simon Says. Come on, power pose. This is it. Father, in Jesus' name, join with me, folks. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, before you, because of the way in which we share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that the power of God is alive and well in this place, in our lives, in my life, that when Jesus raised from the dead, I went with him because you took me with him. And so in the name of Jesus, Lord, we would interpret, we would translate this psalm that the psalmist spoke into our own lives, and laying our hands upon our own heads, we say, be lifted up. Be lifted up. Be lifted up, O heads, in the name of Jesus, and to our hearts, we say, be opened, everlasting doors, in the name of Jesus, that you, the King of glory, might come into our lives. The Lord, strong and mighty, mighty in battle, in Jesus' name. Hey, listen, God bless you. Happy resurrection.